Let us continue to pray. Father God, we are so grateful for your presence here, and bless the day, this holy Sabbath day, for us and for you. Let your name be blessed from our heart, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and let your glory is what is most important in our life, Father, and continue to bless us, and let your Holy Spirit and hover over us in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we are going to begin a new series called Worship and Prayer. In my quiet time, Lord impressed my heart to get deeper with Him in order to reach out wider. The depth of our worship and prayer determines the width of our territory. The deeper you get into the Lord in worship, the wider your mission will be. So today, as the first step, we are going to look at Moses' worship, seeking the Lord. In one word, Moses' worship was seeking the Lord. So with that in mind, would you please turn with me to Exodus chapter 33, verses 6 to 7. Exodus 33, 6 to 7. Can anyone volume up a little bit? Anyone knows how to volume up? It's a little bit hard to say. No. The volume of... anyhow, Exodus 33, 6 to 7, here's the word of God. So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. And now Moses used to take the tent and pitched it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. So let me give you a brief background of this the passage. This pericope took place right after the famous golden calf incident. When Moses was seeking the Lord in Mount Sinai for 40 nights and 40 days, he disappeared from the presence of the Israelites. During those time, I believe the Israelites didn't know what to do when they did not see their charismatic spiritual leader Moses. Moses, in a sense, was kind of the person they needed to see always, but they haven't seen him for 40 days and 40 nights. And during those time, I believe they began to fret, and they needed something to hold on to, and their faith was on a shaky ground, and their worship was so shallow, they failed to develop a deeper personal relationship with the Lord. And as such, the net result of this was for them to create an idol, the golden calf, something they were so used to see every day when they were in Egyptian bondage, because in Egypt there are a lot of idols, you know, shapes and images, and I believe the Israelites couldn't abandon that bad habit. They had to see something. And after they made a golden calf, they lavished themselves a feast celebrating before a golden calf. But this was a false idol worship. So God was so deeply offended with Israel's golden calf, and He struck them down about 3,000 people through the Levites. And God told Moses he would not go with the Israelites anymore. That was how deeply God was offended with an idol worship. So that was the brief background of this pericope. And God commanded the Israelites to strip off all their ornaments from their body as a first step for restoration. While the golden calf was a community idol shared by everyone, ornaments were an individual attachment from which people needed to be set free. So seeking the Lord must cost something. It's not freebie. For Israelites, it was their ornaments they have been wearing in their bodies and in their clothing and so on. Why do you think those ornaments had to be removed from their body? If anything else, these ornaments were in the way for the Israelites, keeping them from developing a deep trust in the Lord. Ornaments were basically the most cherished treasures for the Israelites, and they trust in that treasure. For us, whatever captivates our heart, whatever we cherish as our treasure, that we place our trust into that treasure, they are our own ornaments. And now look at verse 6. So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. So the Israelites made their decisive decisions to remove their ornaments from their body. In order to seek the Lord at the deeper level, what about that which captivates our heart must go decisively. What are your ornaments that which must go from your lives? And unless we rid of our own ornaments, the treasures, we would not be ready to worship the Lord. You know, after Moses saw the Israelites stripping their ornaments, look at verse 7 once more to see what happened. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. So Moses pitched a tent called the Tent of Meeting. It was located outside the camp in a good distance. This Tent of Meeting is to be distinguished from the Tabernacle, which is also called the Tent of Meeting in the Bible. But this tabernacle is with big tent, big T, tent of meeting. The tabernacle was a big tent and was a place of sacrifice where only the priests were allowed to access. Compared to that, this small tent of meeting in verse 7 was a small tent where those who seek the Lord can come and worship the Lord on a personal level. If you think about, there are about at least 2 million people who left the Egypt, and they stayed in the camp. And actually the word camp in verse 7 is actually same as military camp. Think about the camp must have been very bustling and crowded and noisy. And each time they moved, they pitched their own individual tent in a relatively close proximity from each other for their protection. And the camp would still occupy a large footage in order to encircle the whole community, at least 2 million people, together. And the fact that the tent of meeting was pitched in a good distance from the camp has some implication for us. In order for anyone to come to the tent of meeting, it would take quite some time to get there from the camp. And depending on where his or her tent was located in the camp, it could be a big distance. And so from that angle, the tent of meeting was a place of separation from the common life. And it was intentionally pitched far away from the common living place so that people can dedicate their worship of the Lord. It was a place of quietness. It was also a place of focus and a place of meeting God. That's the most important thing. That's why it's called Tent of Meeting. It's a place of meeting God, as the name of the tent stands for, Tent of Meeting. This is a Hebrew word for meeting, pronounced moed. Actually, Hebrew read from right to left. Those are the first letter on the right, like a window, is mem, it's a M basically. And moed, that is the meeting, the Hebrew word for meeting. And this is clearly a place of meeting, but also it has another meaning. It's an appointed time. The moed has a connotation of a place and also an appointed time. So meeting God takes a place of separation, dedication, focus, and quietness. And meeting God also takes an appointed time, sliced only for the Lord. That's what it means, moed, the meeting, Hebrew word stands for. So the essence of worship is nothing but meeting God with a heart of dedication and focus and a full devotion to Him and only to Him. If you read verse 7, second part of verse 7 once more, and whoever and everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Let's do some more Hebrew word today. The Hebrew word for seek is bakash. Bakash. This is like a B, and this is K, and this is Sh. Bakash. Bakash. And it means to seek, discover, encounter, or possess, even possess. But in this particular verse 7, it used a particular form called PL form of the same word. As you see here, this is bakash, but mubakash. It is pronounced as mubakash. Then mu is called PL stem. What that means is it gives the verb bakash intensity. So whenever we see this word, it's like a window-like shape, mem, in any verb, it gives the meaning of the verb with intensity. It adds intensity to the verb. So mubakash means seek, discover, encounter, or even possess with intensity, or earnesty, or sincerity, seriously, basically. So, seek the Lord. When Moses says seek the Lord, that means intensely seek the Lord. You know, seriously seek the Lord. With all your heart, with all your mind and, you know, strength. That's what it means, mubakash. That word is rendered in this verse 7. So the object of this intense seeking is Yahweh, the Lord. It's not just casual glance or being part of the community, but dedicate your time and place and seek the Lord with all your strength. That is what the Tent of Meetings purpose was. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the Tent of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. So seeking the Lord only comes after forsaking the ornaments, and then it would take leaving the camp, the common place, to go out to the place of separation, dedication, focus, and quietness. And finally, seeking the Lord is to meet Yahweh so that we would encounter Him, discover who He is, and even possess Him. And that is worship, basically. And in summary, there are three essential processes of worship, according to Moses. The first process, which is very important, we often tend to forget about this. We need to decisively remove our worldly attachment. You know, as long as we live in the world and act as if we are part of the world, worship wouldn't take place. That's why it's hard. You know, but people forget. People just say, oh, I just want to worship God, you know, casual way. And I don't think we would be able to meet the Lord with that mindset. We have to remove decisively all the ornaments of our own, whatever that ornaments that captivates our heart as a treasure, as a trust. If that is not God, we have to slice out. It can mean something to you. It can be some you know, relationship, or it can be something, or it can be, you know, whatever that is that attaches your heart to that, and you cherish that as a treasure and as a source of trust. If that is not God, that has to be, that has to go from our life. And after that, the holy set apart your time and place for the Lord. Setting apart, you know, God loves dedication. You know, internet is kind of amazing thing because it's a shared thing, right? You share, actually. But before internet came to be, there was a circuit switching. In order to call someone, you get a circuit end to end. So dedicated for you and only for you. No sharing. So God is looking for that kind of dedicated relationship. Not sharing with anything else, but one-on-one of your time and your place to face Him. So wholeheartedly set apart your time and place for the Lord. That's the second step. That's the purpose of the Tent of Meeting that Moses pitched in the community. And the third step, intensively seek Him. Intensively seek Him. This means face the Lord and struggle with Him, in a sense. It's not easy, actually. When you try to seek the Lord all by yourself in a quiet place, it's not easy. But you need to give it a try to see what happens. And it takes hours of immersing into the Lord. And sometimes you may not hear any word, but yet keep pressing on. Because, and if you look at verse 9, it came about whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord will speak with Moses. It was Moses himself who actually entered the Tent of Meeting. He used to go to Mount Sinai to do so, but this time he pitched this tent of meeting, Moed, to allow anybody to come from the camp so that they would encounter the Lord. But it was Moses himself who entered the tent, and each time he entered the tent of meeting, the Bible tells us that the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. There is no record of other people who actually entered the tent of meeting other than Moses and Joshua, which is kind of sad, right? However, an encouraging fact is God spoke with Moses whenever Moses entered the tent of meeting. God speaks. Do you believe that God speaks? Have you heard God speak to you? If you have not, this is a time that we need to really understand what the worship is about. Worship is about meeting God, and God speaks. Amen? I think we have to, it's not just reading the Bible. Of course, God speaks to us through the Bible, but this particular occasion, I don't think it talks about reading the Bible. I think God is able to speak to you. God is not numb. God always speaks. We just simply fail to hear what He has to say in many cases. But as you, decisively remove all the worldly attachment and wholly set apart your time and place and meet the Lord, and God will speak to you. God honors those who seek Him, that God's, and this is the intimacy. And this intimacy is a gift of God. God wouldn't give this intimacy to anyone, actually. Only for those who are seeking the Lord, God honors them by meeting them and speaking to them. This is called intimacy. This intimacy is a rare gift. God wants to have this intimacy with everybody, but unfortunately, it'll be a minority of people who cultivate this intimacy, as we also see from Exodus. It was only Moses and Joshua who developed this intimacy. When you are willing to give all of yourself to the Lord, that is the essence of worship. Ultimately, worship is to face God and to meet with Him. It's a meeting. Any meeting that you go into, you see some people and you talk, right? That's called meeting. So many meetings in the corporate America or, business world. It's a communication, basically. And Jesus refers to this as worship in truth and in spirit. And John 4:23, Jesus said, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers." God is seeking the true spiritual worshipers who seek Him. So seek is an amazing word. As Moses was seeking God, God also seeking him. And the spark take place, that intimacy take place there. Moses has no other desire but seeing the glory of God even more. Even after this incident, Moses' last wish or last hope in the world was seeing the glory of God. "God, show your face to me." That was the last desire of Moses. After hearing God speak to him, he still wanted to see God's face. Not everyone may seek the Lord as was in the generation of Moses. However, you and I, can be like Moses and Joshua, a minority of people who really understand what the worship is all about, and God will honor you, and God will seek you as you seek Him, and you're going to meet with Him. It's a two-way communication. To Moses, worship was to seek the Lord wholeheartedly. May God trigger a heart of worship in us to seek Him and to know Him and to develop this intimacy with Him, which is the essence of worship according to Moses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this intimacy, the essence of worship by seeking You, may not have been in our life. Please forgive us to miss this amazing the treasure You set apart for us. Father, we'd like to remove decisively all the ornaments, all the treasures, all the trust that we may have in people, in things, and whatever that is, Father, we repent by forsaking all those things. And we desire You in a quiet place, in our secret chamber, to hear You speak to us, and we speak to You. And Father, in this bustling and busy life, like the camp life in Moses' time, we'd like to go in a distance to meet with You and to encounter You and to see You and to hear You and to know You at a different level than ever before, Father. And just bless Jubilee Church, men and women, adult and children, and all of us, Father. Let us be the true worshiper as Moses was. In this generation, Father, raise up Your true worshipers out of us who truly, you know, treasure You and placing all our trust in You and commune with You. Father, give us that desire, true desire that satisfies our soul and honor You. May Your Holy Spirit minister to us to trigger that one thing, the most important thing in our heart, to give all of You to You and only to You, to Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take the suffering.
Object of our worship. Thank you for the revelation of your grace and truth. Jesus said, an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Lord Jesus, here we are, now, at this moment. This is not just another Sunday, but special Sunday that will change our life forever. Father, install each one of us to be your true worshiper in truth and in spirit. And transform us and change our worldview, our values, and whatever we are pursuing, Father, lift our eyes up so that we can see the kingdom perspective, the eternity, the view of eternity. Father, set us free from the bondage of these worldly ornaments and adornments that we cherish. We repent our sin today to come before you with a clean slate. And thank you for the hope that we can be different. We can be radically set apart for you and only for you. And Father, we have this kingdom of Jesus will come. We know that, Father, and live in that reality. Live in that expectation. And install each one of us to be your true worshipper in spirit and in truth. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Father who is in heaven and the powerful and intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forever. Amen.